We are the mothers of many, Kiara Evans and Lorna Blanchard. As mothers of many children, we are curious about our parenting journeys. We were called to document this poignant time of mothering in our lives. We feel passionately that women's stories should be heard.
Well, yay for managing to find time to podcast again. This is good.
I love how you say that, like it was not a conscious choice to not podcast for some time.
Yeah, well, shall we? I suppose it's been one of those, the whole bank holiday situation did completely throw the schedule.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there's been many bank holidays recently. Too many. Well, too many. I feel like I have a backlog of like admin at the moment. It's just because of Mondays as being my like regroup day. It's just built up. And now I'm just like, this morning I've just literally blitzed a load of stuff that's been building up.
Amazing. Yeah, I have missed my Monday. It's so difficult, isn't it? On the one hand, I'm like, yay, it's so nice to have a 3-day weekend. On the other hand, I'm like, I can't do this. Kids, go away.
Well, yeah, because your life's set up, isn't it, for a certain like schedule, so to speak. Yeah. You throw in one extra bank holiday and then you're buggered.
And then we're all thrown. Yeah. So shall we, well, our topic this week, what we wanted to talk about was navigating grown-up friendships. Female mm-hmm. grown-up friendships. Can we give context as to why?
Yes, I was like, people gonna think, why should we talk about that?
Yeah, because I'm like, oh no, people are going to think, oh, they've had a 3 or 4 week break from the podcast and then they're coming back with an episode on navigating female friendships. Lorna and Kiara had a falling out. Okay, we didn't have a falling out. We didn't have a falling out. But I have had a massive life change.
We've had a change situation rather than a falling out situation. Yeah,
massive change situation, which is that I have just got a new job and it's thrown everything, a spanner into the works of everything, hasn't it?
I feel like you just came out on this podcast.
I feel like I have come out on this podcast because I've not told anybody. Like I think I've told like 2 or 3 people that I've just got a new job and I've already started, I'm doing it. Why am I not telling people? I think because I haven't decided what I'm going to do with the sling library business, and I feel a lot of feelings of letting people down. But and also because I wasn't looking for a new job at all. I wasn't looking to do anything different. I just saw it advertised and I was like, that's the job I want. Applied for it and got it within the space of a couple of days. And yeah, started last week, which has totally thrown me it's just been really confusing, kind of going, when I saw the advert and then applied, my head was just completely all over the place straight away of how am I going to do life? How am I going to make this work? How's everything going to happen? All the things that I do. And then it was 2 bank holidays in between all of this stuff. And it was just like, I don't know where I'm coming or going. But yeah.
And then one of your closest friends had a meltdown about it. And then... but we can come back to that.
I mean, you did have a meltdown.
I definitely had a meltdown. But also, just to go back a step, you say you weren't looking for the job, which is true, actively, but like I think you'd already started putting out there into the universe, whatever you want to call it, that you maybe wanted to shift what was going on for you, right? Because you kind of were at a stage where Anna's getting older and you know, she's settled at school and like you've got this like a different view on some things, right? Is that right?
I think that's exactly it. I think I was getting to the stage where I was just feeling, well, I texted you this morning and went, oh, here's the full, like the more of the context is I was feeling really burnt out by everything, like literally everything. I think I'd kind of run myself a little bit too hard, maybe a little bit over the last year. There's just been a lot of kind of stuff going on mentally, of all the things, and I was just feeling exhausted with the hustle of running a business. And I'm not saying I'm done with my business, and anybody listening to this who's in the Sling Library world, you know, like, knows me because of that. I don't want you thinking, oh, she's quitting. I'm not done with it. I was struggling with the hustle, the need to constantly sell yourself and produce content and worry about when the next booking was coming in was just starting to eat up my soul a little bit. It's been a long time. I've been doing it for eight, nine years, whatever, it, how many years it's been. It's just been long.
You know that. It's been 10 years because I'd be 10 this year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And so it's just been a really hard time. Like, I love my job. I love running Sling Library, but it's really a lot of hustle, a lot of stress. And I'm prone to anxiety and I'm prone to stress. And I think it just got to the point where I needed to lower the stress a little bit. And there were a few other things that I've kind of had to say goodbye to. Again, partly because of the hustle of wanting to try and get more people booked onto something. And partly because people can be really mean about some things. And that was that, I think, the kind of criticism of things and the communities and whatnot that I've been in, there have been some times where there's just been quite a lot of negativity, and I struggle with the negativity. I'm thinking like the baby wearing business stuff that I've kind of set up. Sometimes it's just been a bit too negative and a bit too heavy for me. And I was just starting to feel that there was something different out there for me. And yeah. And then I saw a job advertised in my local parish newsletter, and it's back working in the church. And I'm like, oh, this is what I've wanted to do forever. I just didn't realize it, that I really, really wanted to do it again. I guess because I didn't think it was going to be an option. I didn't even consider it. And it was literally just like, you know, just there, an advert. And I didn't even tell my husband. I read the advert at like 10 to 12 on a Wednesday afternoon because I was going to mass. I read the advert in the newsletter getting ready to go. And the deadline day was that day. And I was like, I'm going to just apply for this. I'm just literally going to apply for it. I'm not going to tell anybody. And I'm normally like I'm going to ask everybody's opinion. I need to check with everybody. And I was like, I'm just going to do it. I'm going to apply. And I didn't even tell CJ until I'd sent it off. I'd sent the application in. I'd quickly written the CV, quickly done all of this stuff. And I was like, well, the job that was being advertised is literally the stuff I've done in the past. Literally, when I worked for the Agency for Evangelization, when I was a school chaplain, that's literally my job. I was like, I can do this. This job is for me. And then and then I spent the next few days really stressing, going, oh my gosh, am I even going to get an interview? I haven't heard from the priest. Well, I don't know. Blah. Really stressful.
Which no one knew that you were stressed because you hadn't told any of us.
I know, but then I ghosted you and Dawn.
Yeah, I was like, because what the hell's going on?
I know, and I got like messages from Dawn going, seriously, what the hell's going on? And I was like, okay, I need to come clean. I've just applied for a job. And the reason why I felt so edgy about it was because of like all of our heart-centered business stuff that we've been doing. And I was like, well, if I get this job, I can't do any of it. I'm out of everything. And I was like, oh shit. What am I doing? Like, is this a good thing? Is this a bad thing? I just need to find out about the job before I even tell anybody. I did tell CJ that evening. I did just text him and I went, oh, I've applied for a job, and I explained what it was, and I just got the reply back with like something like, oh, that's really amazing, you absolute mad bastard. And that's what my husband replied. And then eventually I got an email back from the priest. Did I check? I think I emailed him like in a, seriously, have you got my email yet? Now I've started the job, it's all chill because now I understand how he works a little bit in terms of like, did he get my email? Yes, it was fine. But then I had an interview the next week, and basically by the end of the interview I was told I'd got the job, and that was it. And then I started last Tuesday. Amazing.
Yeah, really quick as well.
Really, really quick. And I love it. Like, I love it hard. But then then you were having quite a big reaction. So that's been really difficult for both of us, I think, hasn't it? So
yeah.
Are you okay? I'm really sorry because I did, I am totally aware, and I said this to you and John the other day, I was like, I'm totally aware that I've just literally gone, yeah, bye.
Like, I know, like, but we're saying bye, like what, you're moving to Australia or something. You're literally just like,
I'm still here, but yeah. I am just doing a totally different job on days that, yeah, was it 3 days a week within school hours, which again is another one of those things where I was like, oh my gosh, this is like the most perfect job in the world because it's literally within school hours. It's amazing.
And it's so funny because I feel like my response, reaction, let's call it reaction, it definitely wasn't a response to you getting the job, was that, like, to the same extent as if you were moving to Australia. But it was weird because I I've tried to unpick the reaction as to why it was that, and I can't work out if it's because I didn't see it coming, like there was no build up to it. It was like, yeah, I think like we were just pootling along, we're like, heart centered business is taking off, like we're getting full every time now, it feels like we're kind of like moving along into something there. And then we've done some planning on some stuff that we potentially were going to do in the autumn. And then I think in my head, I had got very attached to working with you, particularly in the future, because I love it when we work together. Well, hence why we do this and other things.
Yeah.
Not that I really can call this work. I love it too much for it to be work. So I think I'd like had all these attachments forming and like building towards something. And then it was like, oh, but I'm not going to do any of those things. I've got a job and I'm going to be unavailable. I'm like, what?
But
all the things. And then I had like quite a few questions. But there was like a multi-layered reaction. One was to do with that. One was to do with like the loneliness and sadness of like not being able to spend as much time with you, or you not being available like during the day as much, which, as we know, when we're at home with the kids all the time, like you need those people who are around at like 11 a.m. every day to have like a quick chat with when you're really, you feel that's appropriate. And then
I totally lost you for like 10 seconds there.
Oh, sorry. So then there's the whole, so there's the loss bit of being sad and like feeling like I was going to lose you, like for not as a friend, but just like for a big chunk of what our friendship was becoming. And then there was the bit of like the whole judgment bit that we can either go into or not, depending
on terms of like the church stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we should definitely talk about it, but that's good.
Okay. Yeah. And then also I think it was the shock because it was like so quick, it's so sudden and not something that I think I had realized was, because I kind of sensed that you were you already said you're not done, but like you were shifting away from doing the same thing as you've been doing fully into something else. But I kind of like thought you'd say, I've started an Etsy shop and I'm going to sell my artwork or something like that.
I know, right? Yeah, yeah. And I think that's what I thought I was going to do, because we've had loads of conversations recently where I remember, like, even before the job stuff came up, you and I had a conversation on the phone where you said, well, you know, you're done, you know, you're ready for like the next thing. And I was like, yeah. And you said, I think you said something like, oh, you've been ready for the next thing for a while. I did not expect the next thing to be an actual job. I had no idea, but I feel like I've gone home. And I think part of it is that I guess working for it's the church, but working for a bigger organization where the rules are already set, the teaching's already done, the ethos is already there. I don't have to invent anything. I just feel like I can rest a little bit. And I think I've kind of come to it just going, I'm so tired of needing to invent stuff all the time, and of how to say to parents, carry your baby and you're not fucking things up. I'm exhausted and I just need to rest a bit, which sounds ridiculous for them taking on another job. But
yeah, but like I feel like I can make sense on that. Like, but it's a job where you can already feel confident in what you're doing, right?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And also it is truly where my heart lies. I can I say this and keep my job? Probably. I wanted to be a priest from, you know, when I was like 13 or 14. I'm not saying I'm now a priest, obviously, but...
No, you're a priestess.
I have keys to the presbytery, so that counts.
But I think too, there's that like, well, I understand that feeling, like when I go on my kids' school trips, like, because I, you know, I enter back into the world that I had worked in. I wasn't a teacher for 10 years, but I'd worked with children in a childcare setting for like 10 years before I was a teacher. And it kind of does feel like, oh, I know how to behave here. Like I fit in,
I
know, I know the lingo, like everything feels quite natural. Doesn't draw me back in that particular sense, because for many reasons, but that feeling of like being at home, I understand in that context.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, exactly. I just feel home, and it's nice. But it has been like, I think I texted you at the weekend, and I was like, I've lost all grip on reality. I don't know if I'm coming or going. I don't know what I'm doing. I think I lost, like, even I couldn't even kind of connect with my bodily sensations of like, am I tired? Am I hungry? I have no idea. I've like literally, I just lost everything by the weekend. So yeah, it has just felt very much like a very quick, I've been steamrolled into like this new thing. And so then, when you were feeling sad about it, I was like, oh no.
And I was trying to like, I was trying to hide my sadness. I was trying, but I am not a very good liar, as anyone who knows me will know. And so my whole person is just like always in my own truth.
I'm just feeling this right now. Yeah, totally. But then I texted you over the weekend and I said, look, I understand, because when you were talking about moving to Australia, when you'd said to me a little while ago, a few months ago, that you guys were thinking of making quite a big move to Ipswich, I freaked the fuck out. Like,
I had no idea either.
I was not happy for you.
You're very good at keeping your cards under wraps, because I had no idea. Yeah,
well, we all know that I'm not particularly in touch with my emotions, right? I'm not okay. I was not okay. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? I'm being abandoned. I'm being abandoned is how I felt. I was like, I can't drive all the way to Ipswich. What's she doing? How am I going to fit this in with my anxiety for driving? And she's going to have a nice house, and she's going to go to, and the kids are going to go to a nice school. I was like, oh, it really triggered me. Yeah.
And that's funny, because the feeling of abandonment was on both sides, right? Like, I feel abandoned. I don't feel abandoned now, but I felt abandoned by that decision. You felt abandoned by my potential decision that didn't end up coming to fruition. But yeah, I didn't even consider, when I was telling you all that stuff, I didn't even consider what impact that would have on you. And like, that's not that, you know, I don't think we should consider the impact on somebody else, unless obviously it's like your husband or you know, someone who's like grossly affected by it. But I think it's more like how those two experiences are teaching us about our friendship for the future, and what we both know each other needs now when we make decisions like that.
Yeah,
like,
and it's so interesting, because I was thinking about it over the weekend, and just thinking, you know, when you were talking about the move, I think the reason why I kind of kept it, I didn't say anything, was because I was like, well, I don't have any right to be upset about the fact that you're moving, because it's, if that's the decision that you guys make, that's absolutely the right decision for your family, and I can still see you, and like, I have no right to this friendship. And it's weird, isn't it? Because like you're saying, you have, it's different when it's your own, when it's a spouse, but when it's a friend, it's like, well, I feel all of these feelings of abandonment or being let down, and yet I don't have, there's nothing tying us together. It's just friendship. And that's when I texted you over the weekend as well. And I said, look, I feel like this is a choice, and you can't get rid of me that easily. You're going to have to properly break up with me. Like, we are a couple, for me to be done being friends with you. And I can still text you during the day at work. It's all cool. Yeah.
But you do have some kind of a contract with a friend, whether you like consciously created the contract or whether it's just there because of like patterns. It's the same thing as a romantic relationship. I mean, in a romantic relationship, like you're guaranteed to basically face your inner child at every waking second, pretty much, because that's what romantic relationships do. But I think friendships are potentially like easy to avoid the triggers, like if you have them at a certain level. But like,
yeah,
I feel like we've up-leveled our friendship over the years.
and I think what my child childlike reaction is to go, well, fuck it then, let's just not, we just won't be friends, you know, like, not, that's not actually what I considered over the weekend, but just in a kind of, oh well, I guess that's over, that, you know, is it just that it? And that's when I said, that's when I was like, I think this is more than that, this is a choice, we get to choose to be friends regardless of what bizarre decisions Kiara goes and makes within a, you know, 12 minute period on a Wednesday afternoon about getting a new job, which felt, that feels really lovely to kind of go, oh no, this is a choice to be friends, and to, like, yeah, like you said, up level it to navigating being a grown up as a friend. And then so then we were talking about it in terms of the podcast, and I think when you have friends, when you make new friends as a mum, it's so often because it's like your kids are there, right? And so I think I definitely noticed that my friendships have changed throughout the years of having children, because, well, some friends were only friends for a time when the children were playing together, and that's not to say that I didn't like that person, but that primarily it was because of the kids. And actually right now we're entering into like a new phase of being a human being that says we get to have friends outside of our children, or outside of just a shared interest. Something is like, it's amazing, it's awesome, we get to have friends because we just like each other. Amazing.
Yeah. And I think there's that like element too of because that's a conscious choice then to do, you're like, the open-heartedness of that then leads to potentially more hurt, you know, like if you then like make a 360, because although we've joked about you being all or nothing and doing things in 12 minutes, like I too have that tendency to just go, I'm moving to Ipswich, and then not actually doing it, or I'm gonna like retrain to be a, I don't know, whatever. You know, it doesn't mean that we do all the things, but like the nature of us is that we get on a like a train and we're going there really fast, like we're gonna do it now.
I'm just doing it
without much consideration to the impact of that, because that's, you know, we shouldn't have to, we should be secure enough in all of our attachments that everyone around us is like, okay, cool, she's doing that, like that's happening. But that's like, I think when you have a big reaction to something or something that you're not expecting, that's just such a good opportunity to be like, oh, there's some work to do there, like what is that about, like what unhealed bollocks has just come up to whack me in the face at this moment. And I think if anything, over the last like week or so, I've definitely been like, why don't you just text her, like you talk about everything else, so just like tell her that you're being an asshole and you think all these things, because I know you, you'll just be like, okay, I totally get it. And even, but I was like, I can't tell her that I feel this, like whatever. So I ended up getting some help, because I am fortunate enough to have someone I can do that with. So I got my help and they laid it out straight for me. And I took a deep breath and I read it. Because I think when you're in that state, that moment though of a trigger, whatever, I hate that word, but when you're in that moment of a reaction, you cannot necessarily see like the whole you cannot have the full awareness sometimes of what's happening. I'm trying to, like with most things, but every now and again something comes up to go, oh actually no, you haven't done some stuff around this. But that's why I think friendships like give you that other layer of different things that you might not have seen, that you might not get from your romantic relationship as well, you know, with somebody.
Yeah, because, you know, in terms of my husband, well, me going to work actually doesn't impact him, because I'll still be here at the beginning of the day and at the time when he comes home. Like, his life won't change. But you and me, when I go to, if you know, that does change our, the dynamic of our relationship, because I am not around to do the things that we planned and the things that are already in my diary. In fact, I was just looking at my calendar a minute ago and going, oh shit, look, there's actually things in my diary that we blocked out that I now can't do. That is a big deal.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because when I was making the decision, the very quick decision to just go for the job, I think in my head I'd kind of gone, I don't know, it was almost like it didn't seem like there was another option. I was like, this is it. I'm going to apply for this job and I'm going to get it. I'm right for this job. This job needs me as much as I need it. Which sounds really big-headed, but...
Well, no, and that, okay, so there's the other element of this that we haven't touched on, and that is my pride. Is pride the right word? Or like my pride sounds so condescending, I think, because I think it's just been like wrongly used, but like my kind of like joy in seeing you make a decision without considering the impact. So like as much as I was like I was like in a reaction for myself, I was actually a bit like, oh my god, that is so brave.
She's just had a gut reaction and just done it.
Yeah, all without like
talked about.
I think that's important though, because like there's been times where I think in the past you would have like called me and you would have undenied it, and then the deadline would have passed and you would just been like, okay, well, I didn't make it, like I didn't put the thing in, it's done, like I'm not gonna do it, whatever. But like because of your hard work this year, because of your determination to heal some of your wounded whatever, because of your like time that you spent reflecting and all of that, whatever, all of that gave you the bravery or the for whatever it was to say, okay, I need a rest right now. And as much as getting a job isn't a rest, but you know, we've got a lot of energy, us two, like it is some senses.
Yeah.
Like if I got a cleaning job, I'd feel like that was quite a nice rest to like do it in somebody else's house, because I'm a very active person.
Yeah, yeah. I totally get the same thing.
Like something that you can do that you know that like what you want to, you know. Oh, I didn't mean to compare your new job to a cleaning job. I was just trying to think of something I could do like really quickly.
That's fine. There is a considerable amount of cleaning, not actual cleaning, but cleaning up that needs doing at the moment. So it's fine. I'm okay with that.
Administrative cleaning.
Yeah, very much so.
I was trying to think of something that I would like to do that wasn't admin, because I hate admin, as we know. Just like I think there's a lot to be said for the joy of that element that we haven't yet celebrated together, but I'm waiting to celebrate that with you now that I'm over myself and my bullshit.
What's so funny is that I knew you were having a reaction. I knew you were like pissed off, and oh, not even pissed off, but just like there was stuff going on that you were like, so how was your day? And then I tell you how my day was, and you're like, actually, can we just not talk about it? And I was like, okay.
But isn't that so annoying though? Like that's the thing with conscious relationships, it's so annoying, because it's like with my sister, all I have to do is she answers the phone and she says hello, I'm like, okay, she's there, that's where she's at.
We know that is not
just because we've grown up together, but because her and I actively choose to be friends as well and create that relationship together. So there's all the history of our childhood, plus the fact that I know her really well in her adulthood. I'm like, okay, so we're in that mood today, or oh, she's in that mood today. But like, and wherever I'm at, she is probably the same when she answers the phone. And it's like, you can't hide.
No hiding. But also I was like, you can't hide. I know what's going on. But also, I'm not actually the right person to necessarily help you through dealing with my decision, because it's me that's triggering you. Yeah, it was really hard.
I don't know. I would say like you actually, I think you would be, but it's more, I think I was conscious of not asking you to help me because I didn't want to diminish your joy or excitement in your decision. You know, so I think if you'd offered it in that moment and said, I can sense this is like creating this for you, I'm going to like be really happy for a few days, and then do you want to like catch up again at the end of that and see where we're both at and talk about it? Like that would have been perfect. because I think
that's such a nice way of doing it, because I think I'd got to the point of like almost shutting down a bit and kind of going, okay, in fact, I sensed that in myself the other day, and I knew it when I replied to you, and you, we were kind of just chatting, and then you'd said, can we just not talk about the job for a bit? And I think I replied with, okay, lovely. And that's all I wrote. And because that's when I was like, okay, I have to shut down. I'm going to do this shutdown thing, which I know that I'm really prone to doing of, well, I don't have long, like, you know, you're one of my oldest friends. I cut people out, you know, not that I was about to cut you out, but I think that's my kind of my wounded reaction is to go, if you can't accept everything about me, I can't do this. I think it was what you were saying, when you get close, when you're in a conscious relationship where you're closer to someone, there's more chance of being hurt. And I think that's when my inner child started to go, hold on, someone doesn't like us anymore. Someone doesn't like the decisions we've made. Someone doesn't like us completely. And now I can't change. I think because I'd had such a positive reaction to the job and I was so happy. I was like, if this can't be acceptable, then I'll have to back away because I don't want you to be upset with me in my happiness. And I can't hide this one bit of me that's like, I'm so happy. Yeah.
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 So both withdrew. Had a wounded inner child that thought they were being abandoned in some way or another. Just very different reactions. And that's like,
yeah,
you know, it's not just the wounding, but also the patterning. And I think recently, like for me, talking about navigating grown-up friendships, is that I've had quite a few of them disperse or not work out recently, or like move on, create, like it's shifted, whatever, or like I'm coming to a lot of realizations about that. And it felt like I can't lose this one
because
you know, like there's been a lot of change. And I think that's a good lesson for me on like, you know, everything does change. And as much as I feel like I'm a massive advocate for that, most of the time I'd be like, you know, I'm one who likes to change all the time. And so I have to, you know, in this instance, didn't practice what I preach, which was really fascinating to me.
Yeah, but I think it's another one, like you were saying, it's when you have these big reactions, when, you know, we in general, you in general, us, whatever. It's just shining a light on those patterns and the wounds and all of that kind of stuff that doesn't, you know, I guess partly because between you and me, we don't have, there aren't issues that come up. Like it's pretty hunky-dory in terms of friendship stuff. Like this is a big deal to go through.
Yeah, because actually, like most things, I'd say we like probably disagree on quite a lot of things. But like, this is the first time where, we do actually disagree on quite a lot of things. But we haven't, like, it's never really been huge.
No, and I would say when there are things that we disagree on, it's more like a coming from the opposite side of the spectrum on a particular issue. Like, you know, even when we talked over the weekend about Anna being a pain in the ass yesterday and wanting to do stuff, but I was like, you don't want to do anything that I want to do. And you were just saying boundaries, but we come at that topic from totally different places of you saying you have quite strong boundaries and me having no boundaries at all. And actually we do disagree then, but it's just a shared wisdom. And I love that, as opposed to it being a disagreement that's we can't move past it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So we're entering a new phase of our grown-up friendship. One where I will do better at telling you what's going on with me so that I can ask you to support me in the way that I need.
Yeah, and I will recognize.
Difficult to say.
No, I love that. But I think my part will be to say, I recognize when... if you're having a hard time, I can specifically say, can I help? Whereas I think I've just kind of maybe go, well, she'll ask for help if she needs it, or I don't have anything to offer.
But only with boundaries, like if you have the capacity to help. Because for example, if you had been hurt by me not being excited, then you shouldn't offer help because you need to process your own hurt before you come to someone and say, you know, like, sure. That's the thing. If neither of us were in the actual emotional position to come together and say, like, this is what I'm can offer you, then yeah. That's a moment to take a pause, isn't it, and go, oh, okay.
I think we actually did do that over the last week. We have done that. It has taken us to until today to kind of go, shall we talk? Like, shall we do it? You know, shall we? And I think the podcast hiatus has got actually been nothing to do with that until, you know, literally the last week. But we couldn't have done it anyway last week. But
and also we could have had this conversation without recording it. But I said to you, yeah. I was like, this is in action. What's going on for us, like exactly why we started this project in the first place. This is the kind of conversation that I feel is really valuable for us as much as it could be for anyone who's listening to it, right?
Yeah, I completely agree with you. Because navigating friendships is bizarre and weird and hard.
Yeah, and everyone needs so much different stuff from a friendship, right? Like,
yeah.
I like a lot of like backwards and forwards. What would you call that? Not necessarily in conversation, but all the things, like a lot of interactions, like in my friendship. And I often, do I struggle? No, because now I've learned more about human design, like with my friends, I can sense, I can work out from their chart why they're not interacting with me the way I'd like to interact all the time. So I get around that by just having lots and lots of friends, because then eventually I get enough backwards and forwards from it. I can see, you know, like lots of my friends who have a 6 line or a 2 line, they're like they hermit themselves for a while, and I'm like, oh, okay, they're just not like, they're not chit chatters. And then like the MG friends of mine, like we have a lot of things on the go all the time, so we like to, you know, like backwards and forwards. The 5-1 friend of mine, we have like millions of different topics that we want to deep dive into together, you know, forge ahead with. So I think learning about my friends has like massively changed my dynamic with lots of them and made me more understanding and compassionate towards them to make our friendship better.
Yeah.
So you were saying like over the like years that you've had kids, like they've changed, you know, friendships have come and gone and whatever, like what would you say the ones that have stood the test of time, what would you say are like the things that have kept them into fruition?
I would say it's this stuff, it's the going deep, it's the going places beyond the general chit chat of your day-to-day life. It's when we can kind of talk about the nitty-gritty, the hard stuff, the deeper things. That's when I'm like, oh, those friendships have lasted. And it doesn't even, like you were saying earlier on, it doesn't even matter if you disagree on the subject, but just being able to go there, that's when it's like, oh, this is amazing.
Yeah, interesting. I just we didn't release the last
the last one
we recorded. Yeah, so we recorded a whole episode on connection and we didn't release it. Okay, and I've just spotted a pattern of mine. And in that conversation I realized that we had come up against, I think, our limit with each other of a certain subject, which is around this job as well, right? So you and I have debate, we've recorded on the same topic by accident in connection, but intentionally at the very beginning on religion.
Yeah, okay, so we've already recorded,
which didn't get released. So we recorded on religion and you had some discomfort around it and was like, no, I don't like how I sounded. Okay, deep discomfort about how you came across in it. Okay, this is like a year ago now almost, right?
Yeah.
And then, so we were like, right, we won't talk about religion. That's off topic. Religion and sex, we've decided are like off topic at the moment. So they got put in the fuck it bucket. And actually connection ties in quite heavily with sex too. So then we didn't record on anything like religious at all. Maybe we briefly touched on it with things that we were unpicking. And then we recorded connection. And then I think this is the beginning of when you found the job, where you started to put out there into the universe what you were asking for, which was like, I want to be back in the church. I want to be back in the church. So in your mind, you've like read a load more books recently about religion and all the, you know, and a lot of stuff
I
was coming up around that.
Hardcore. I am very aware that I went in hardcore for a period of time.
And like, we've always had that as a topic where we are literally the opposite ends of the scale on it. And it's never, it's always been something we've discussed, but not really in like deep depth, because we know like there's no point in pushing each other there, because like, you're not going to change your mind, I'm not going to change my mind, and we're not in the business of conversion, right?
No.
Like, that's not what we do. So however, that's how I preach. What I practiced was like a big massive bucket load of judgment towards you for the decision to work for the church. And that is like the bit of my reaction that I am going to take full ownership for and responsibility in myself, because that is not a good friend. Like, that was not a moment that was good friendship. That was like the things we've talked about on Instagram, where we can go on the reels and we go, oh, that woman couldn't possibly have such a nice house and all of her shit together, or like whatever it is. Okay. So I did the thing. I did the mean thing, the bad thing, the thing I'm not proud of. I did the judgment. And I just had that like light bulb moment of like, we've recorded on that twice now. And then the second time was connection, and it went down the religion rabbit hole. And I was like, whoa, I can't do this. I feel like I'm being converted into Catholicism. I need to leave. And I listened to the recording back. I was like, oh, I think like we both had a different idea in our head of like what we wanted to talk about there.
Yeah.
And then that was like literally a week before you got the job, right?
Yeah. I think, had I already applied for it at that point? Whatever it was that all feeling very fresh in my head.
Yeah.
Okay. So, do you want to tell me about the judgment? Are you, is it like kind of patriarchy and that sort of stuff?
Yeah, I mean, like all the stuff that we've already discussed, I think, about the church is just, I felt like, I don't know, just, I just don't have it as an establishment I have any respect for.
I appreciate your honesty.
I mean, that's just like my personal stance on it. So then I had to like check myself about that, because that doesn't mean, because that reflects bad, that reflects on me as like, well, then nobody should be allowed to practice a religion that they deem as acceptable to them, right? And like that's not what I believe. So I was like, so why am I like judging then? Because you believe that everyone should be free to practice spirituality and religion exactly how they want to. And I do believe that. Like, in fact, I would say it's one of my like deepest, truest core beliefs, that I believe that everyone should be free and self-sovereign to do like whatever it is they want to do. As long as they're not hurting people, obviously, in the physical sense and emotional if possible. But like, I think it was just the, like, does that mean then that I've lost you to them? It's like a them, I made it a them and us.
Okay. Yeah.
And I think, like, but they're probably stronger than me. There's more of them.
Yeah. But I think, and I think what's difficult is that I think I guess to maybe give context, like, you know, I'd had a really rough few years with my faith, because we'd had some really shit experiences of church a number of years ago, like really, really shit. Like, it was just really tricky for a bit. And I lost my, and I lost my way a bit. You know, I was hardcore. Like, I was a hardcore Catholic for a long time. You know, I'm talking like regular confession, all the masses, getting involved in all things, and then ultimately working for the church. Like, I was hardcore and I loved it. And then I lost my way because of some really negative experiences. And then something, I don't even know what happened. What happened was CJ got a collection of books given to him at school, and they, you know, my faith has just bubbled alongside me forever. but then CJ got this collection of books given to him at school, and he brought one home, and it was this Ignatian spirituality one, and it just blew my mind of how simple faith could be, and it just kind of like reawakened my Catholic side. And then over Easter I was like, okay, I'm going to go and do the Triduum, I'm going to go and do Mass, and so then I was like, okay, I'm going down the rabbit hole of like, oh, finally all of this stuff that I've been trying to do recently of like healing some kind of mental health stuff, to me always felt like a little bit like lacking. There wasn't enough depth as to, well, why do I have self-worth? Why am I okay? And some stuff that I was reading around spirituality gave me some answers. And so then I was like, okay, right, I'm going to go back to church. So then I went in like hardcore. And I was like, right, I'm only going to read Catholic books. I'm only going to listen to Catholic podcasts. For the record, I got to a point where I was like, okay, it's too much now.
Yeah, you did say about one, you were like, that one wasn't healthy.
Yes, it was deeply uncool. It was like, it was too far. So I went in deep, I got too far, and then I kind of came back out the other side.
Yeah, but we both do that about things, okay? So like, yeah, just to give even further context, this is the thing that puzzled me. So I was like, so now I'm thinking about it more and I'm unpicking it with you. I'm like, but I went to a Diwali party of my Hindu friend, and I found that unthreatening. Like, I don't find her faith in any way threatening to our friendship whatsoever. Okay, yeah. So what is it about Catholicism then that means that I'm feeling threatened?
And it's so funny because it's not your background, right? Like, when you were a kid, you weren't Catholic.
Yes.
Church of England.
No, I'm Church of it. Well, yeah, my parents christened me Church of England. However, my grandmother was Catholic, my dad's mom. Mm-hmm. And therefore my dad was whatever Catholic people do to their children, they christen, baptize, whatever.
Yeah,
so my dad had all of that. But then I was like, so to give further, even more context, I've recently had a German new medicine symptom. She called it a church, which I'm sure, symptom church. About something that was coming up for me, which we dug down into stuff that I could be holding on to that's ancestral, that isn't even mine. And one of them was my grandmother's stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So my grandmother had like a horrific experience with the Catholic Church. She was adopted by nuns and abused. Okay.
Oh,
so, and just, you know, disclaimer, that is not what happened to everybody. That is just the personal story of my family.
But it is what happened. Yeah.
Yeah. And we don't know the ins and outs of it. She was very cagey around it, barely spoke about it. She still had a rosary when she died. Like, you know, so she obviously held on to something of the Catholic faith. But I'm like, okay, so it wasn't just about you working for the Catholic Church. This was about my ancestral healing of what has happened in my past. And I do identify as a witch and a healer, right? I am a witch. I am a healer. And guaranteed at some point in my life, I was burned on the stake in one of my past lives. Like, for 100% that would have happened. I'm a heretic. I am a witch. I am all those things that like the Catholic Church wants to burn down in the past. Now, bringing that into this modern day situation of you getting a job in your parish church.
I'm like, you're feeling triggered that the witch inside you is about to get burnt. Yeah.
I mean, is there something there? Like, but you know, this is also I'm not being aware of that though. Like I am now, yeah. But I wasn't being aware of that. I'm like, this judgment is coming from, you know, something that isn't even happening now. This is like judgment of something that has happened hundreds and thousands of, like hundreds or thousands of years ago. And you're bringing it into this very moment with you and your friend, and that's not going to.
I think what's so lovely is that it's entirely relevant. You know, the whole ancestral wounds is like, it's literally in people's DNA. It's a genetic expression that stuff happens in previous generations that is expressed in our genetics today. That's true. And so, yeah, of course, it is relevant that you need to process the stuff that happened to your ancestors. And I think what I find tricky about the church stuff is that your reaction is not uncommon.
Mm-hmm.
And it's completely relevant. And I think, I guess in my head, I was like, well, I don't agree. I mean, I'm on the same page as you. What happened in the past from a Catholic perspective was unacceptable. The church has done its best to do some repair. Well, the church has done something to repair at the moment. And the problem with it is that almost when you kind of say, right, I'm working for the church, it's like, okay, so do you agree with all that happened? Like, are you going to do, are you closing ranks? Are you going to do that? Are you going to just be Catholic and just, no. Part of the reason for doing this job is because there is, I guess I'll start by saying, I deeply love church teaching. And what breaks my heart into a million pieces about the Catholic Church is that ultimately the church does a shit job of actually communicating what its teaching is. And its teaching is about love. And so all of the stuff that's gone wrong in the past of abuse, you know, from really extreme cases of abuses to the day-to-day running of parishes, which are a bit bleh, is not actually how a church should be run. And that's why I'm like, do you know what? Fuck this. I'm getting back involved because we can do better than this. This is unacceptable and it needs a damn good kick up the arse. And in my tiny little way, in a tiny little parish, I'm going to do it because this isn't okay. It's not okay what happened in the past. It's not okay that things are not good enough now. Let's sort this out.
So I remember
sort the whole church out. Sorry.
Well, yeah, obviously. And I have faith that you will do that if it needs to be done by you. You know, it's like I just wrote down that I feel like this, the reason why we're friends in this moment, though, it could have been a missed moment. It could have been one of them that were like, differences, like, let's just call time. You're going one way, I'm going the other, right? Or like, as we've done before and other things, this is like a religious healing experience. In, you know, this job is going to create a healing experience for me and more than likely one for you for different like reasons and stuff. But like, that could have been missed. We could have just overridden this as being like, okay, well, we're at the end. This is the end point. We've come right. to, you know, because we have come to that point with religion often where we're like, okay, this is the end of the conversation because
we need to stop now. Yeah.
Because and
like you were saying earlier on, it's not about converting either one of us to the other thing. I think it's just about, it's just more than that, isn't it? It's more than like, let's not have this difference of opinion get in the way, but at the same time as going, oh wow, this is really opening us up to a whole different perspective on this.
On ourselves,
for sure.
Because I feel like some of the things that maybe that you've delved into in the last years and my influences of going like, I've tried this, do you want to try this? Like, come on, it's good over here. And then as soon as I can sense that from you, I'm like, oh no, been down there before, not going down that one. You know, like it's like that push and pull, isn't it? But I think, you know, we both are aware that that is happening now. So we will probably be more mindful not to push our, like I'm talking from my side anyway.
Maybe, you know, I'm not going down the tarot reading side. At the same time, I'm not expecting you to be wanting to pray the rosary. Like, this is cool.
I did pull two cards, by the way, for this podcast before I did it.
Did you?
For me, I didn't do it for you. I said, I just asked the tarot, like, what's unfolding with our podcast and what needs to come out? And it was just so beautiful. It was just about relieving judgment and coming together to create a bond free of judgment and full of love. It's just like, Aww. Oh, you fucking tarot with your joy and you're like knowing all the
with
things.
Your joy. Leave me alone with the joy. No, this is, it's been good. It's good to just talk it out, isn't it? And just kind of go, yeah, friendship and love is more than this, more than a job or whatever.
Religion.
It's nice. Yeah.
It's more than, you know, it's like more than tarot, more than religion, more than like whether you believe in UFOs or not. I don't, but I better not say that out loud in case they're listening. I don't know.
In case they're listening.
That's one thing Gary and I always like. I mean, he's like heavily obsessed with UFOs, yeah, and all sightings and all documentaries, whatever. I'm just kind of like non-committal on it.
Yeah.
Not triggered by it, just non-committal and not very interested.
Towards the idea of UFOs.
Yeah, but that's why I find this so fascinating. Like, why am I so less ambivalent about this particular area? So thank you for getting this job, because it's really, it's really helping to like work out where some of my judgment still lays, because that's important. Like one of my, like my whole theme of my gene keys is about creating love in whatever I do. So I'm like, okay, so that's my main core theme for my gene keys, is like transforming everything into love. So I'm like, okay, well, this is one area where I've not done that yet. So let's work out what's going on here.
Yeah.
I think, I think this is good too for like our teenagers that will be coming, your teenager that you already have, but like mine that will be coming into teens, because yeah, friendships were such a big deal for me when I was young.
Yeah. I think I've spent a lot of time with Bethany recently. Well, all of them actually, but just kind of saying, you know, when things get hard, it's often because someone's feeling triggered by something. And it's like that, yeah, that is so true. How can we recognize when it's happening in us and the other person? Oh, it's hard, isn't it?
And I think the more awareness I have, the more I kind of like realize how much I'm triggering people. And that, I find that really hard, because I want to, okay, the people pleaser in me wants to like soothe them, you know, like, right, and say like, oh, and like go back on something I believe, like often, like that makes me want to like hide myself a little bit.
How can we just soothe this back to how it was?
Yeah, because I feel like, and I can sense that from my eldest, who can go into somewhere and she can just like achieve. She can just do the thing really well, whatever it is, like the learning, the sport, the like, and but not only that, she is like kind and she is not egotistical and she just really wants everyone to do their best, like that she genuinely believes that. And she's 9, you know, she's like so wise and so like great to be around. And I can sense the trigger in other people from her as well. And I think it's that thing of like the disbelief that that can be a genuine state of a person. Like, not saying that she doesn't trigger the shit out of me sometimes. And there's definitely things that we both have there that like, it just, she just has this energy that can be like electric, like make people want to like magnetize to her, but also it can like really trigger people who are not secure in themselves. And she's going to have to come up against that for a really long time, probably.
I just think, how do we then parent meet that we can? So I've spent a lot of my weekend, as well as kind of dealing with some of the stuff with us, but also with Bethany just being basically in a foul mood and thinking that I'm just useless. And it's like, how do we go past these things, these little moments, these micro moments of conflict that don't end up chipping away at a relationship's foundation to the point where we're then separated, we're then done, be it with my own kids or with a friend, or, you know, like that's really hard, isn't it? How on earth do you do that? I don't, yeah. Being honest when you're triggered, being honest when,
yeah, being more open, being more vulnerable, being more communicative, being, you know, having systems in place for healthy communication, like the 45 minutes we've just spent unpicking.
Yeah. And I think, like you were saying about having almost that contract with a friend of saying, do you know what, this friendship is more important to me than these triggers that we're having. I'm choosing that. I want to still be in this friendship. I want to mm-hmm. still have a relationship with my daughter. I don't want things to just chip away at it until I get to the point of being hardened to her. Mm-hmm. That's maybe something for me. That will be what I will learn from this weekend, is when I'm getting hardened towards something, that's a red flag. That's a warning sign for me that I need to go do something about it. Because that's not a good reaction. That's a triggered reaction for me. Yeah,
when I'm shutting down. I text someone this morning and said, I'm hibernating because I'm feeling mean.
Okay.
And when I'm feeling mean, that means I need to go in.
Right.
Because if I'm feeling mean to go out, that means I just want to project all of my whatever. And I was like, that's why I was unsure about recording. Because I was like, am I going to be able to sift what is like the reaction? Like, am I still in the reaction or am I moving into the reflection? And I'm now moving, I think definitely this conversation has moved me fully into the reflection, but I still was like clinging on to the reaction in some way because it was obviously soothing myself or trying. Soothe me. I want to be angry. Yeah. I want to be like upset. I want to be whatever, but it wasn't actually doing the thing that actually needed to happen. The thing is with teenagers though, is that you may not get from them a two-way situation.
Yeah. So the burden of letting the reaction happen and then reconnection is probably all on me rather than on her. And then not over-emotionalizing. Is that a word? The thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because they owe you nothing, right? Like your kids owe you nothing.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Which is wisdom I got from a podcast recently. So there's a 2-hour recording of Rich Roll and Lisa D'Amour, and I've read Lisa D'Amour, Dr. Lisa D'Amour's book, like Untangling the 7 Transitions of Teenage Girls or something. Have you read that one?
No.
I need to give it to you. If you fancy reading it. I found it really helpful, and then someone sent me that podcast, the 2-hour one. I listened to that, and then I delved into her own podcast where she's done loads of episodes, and you can just go into like one that you want about teenagers.
Amazing.
So I'm just doing like I've only got a 9-year-old, but I'm going into my research early because I want to know what's coming.
Definitely.
So yeah, I've like picked out a few to look at, to listen to. And like she very much spoke about the parent-child dynamic of this like parasitic type relationship where they owe you literally nothing. Like you are the provider of the love, the stability, whatever. The way they respond to it is like, so not your response, like in your control. But it was way more complex than that. But I think
it's really hard to not be hurt by my kids. Bethany looked at me yesterday and went, look at you wearing Converse with purple sparkly laces and jeans. Are you trying to be cool? Like with a proper like, she's like, and she just kind of, she kept going like, you're not cool. But it was like, she was trying to be funny, but like, it was just, you know, when you get to the point of going, you're just being really mean. And over the weekend, I totally went into CJ at one point and went, she's just being really mean to me. I don't understand. Why is she being so mean?
Yeah, like I think it's fully valid though to say like that's really mean, because I've got like Fern does that to me. Fern looks at me, she's like, well, your boobs are really low down. I'm like, okay, thanks Fern. I was like, I find that quite offensive. I breastfed 4 children with these breasts and I am very proud of them. And she just looks at me and laughs and walks off. But like, I think you sometimes just get that. I think sometimes they want to see how far they can get you before it's offensive,
like toddler
right?
boundary pushing again, isn't it?
It is just like full circle back
totally. And now we're just gonna push all the boundaries.
Trouble with a teenager is that the reaction from them can be so catastrophic, it might not be worth setting the boundary sometimes.
Massively catastrophic. Yeah. Although I did manage to catch myself one point this weekend and I was like, Bethany, you're being really mean. Is there something I can get you? Do you need a cuddle? Can I give you some cake or something? I managed to shut my own like, I'm being hurt reaction down. You need to go. You've got 1 minute until you have to go. I feel like this has been such a lovely podcast. I've not felt like, yay for reconnection. Go us. This is our connection podcast. I love it. Thank you.
I love you.
Love you, Lorna. Oh, have a good rest of your afternoon.
You too. I'll see you soon.
Bye.
Just a little note to end the podcast to say, I'm super aware that we don't have a proper introduction to each episode, like a hi kind of thing, hi, welcome, and we don't have an outro, is that even the word, to our episodes ever. Like, we just kind of end them. I'm aware of that. Maybe we'll fix that, maybe we won't, maybe it's a problem that needs fixing, I don't know. But anyway, just to say thanks. We love doing this, and we are so grateful that you listen. Like, genuinely, thank you.